Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, a podcast for the modern age. Come for the whiskey, stay for the shit show. Introducing Justin Curry at Wizard of Whiskey, Julia Men at the Wee Tipple. And now, pour yourself a drink and enjoy the show. I know I will.
Testing, testing, and welcome back, Ramblers. Yeah, that's right. Here we are. Myself, of course, the always handsome, always illustrious, intelligent, brilliant, genius, amazing, whatever, all of those things. And of course, Joy is here.
Hi.
The newly married Julia Men. Best wishes to her.
I got hitched. It was very exciting.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. She's going to tell us all about it.
Am I? Are we?
I don't know. What? Well, I don't think so. Yeah, I guess not. Well, sorry, Ramblers. You're not getting
shot. I don't know. Oh, also, just to clarify, Justin and I did not get married. I married Sandy.
Yes, that is a good, valid point, actually.
In case everyone forgot that Justin is married to the magnificently fabulous Lauren.
Yes.
Who is terrific, and we all love her dearly. But, you know, this is a drinking show. You're probably several deep already, and that could have been confusing. Right?
Honestly, yeah, that is accurate. I mean, we're 11 seconds in, and I assume most people are on their third or fourth drink already.
Hopefully. I know I am.
So I'm well on my way this time. I'm drinking. Well, we'll get to that. But anyway, let's fucking jump in. Talk to me. What's in your glass?
Oh, I have. Inside. Now I am drinking a white Negroni. So this is from Fifth State because I can't be bothered to make my own Negroni at home because also I fucking hate Negronis.
Wow.
I mean, coming out
of
the gate.
This is a Negroni episode.
Swinging. Yeah. Well, you didn't tell him it was a Negroni episode. Merlin! Get down.
Sorry, I am not named Merlin, FYI, for those listening, because you can't see us.
Yeah. Remember, I think the last episode, I had just gotten my cats. Well, now it's several months later, and Merlin is trying to get places where he shouldn't be. Anyway, I am drinking a white Negroni from Fifth State, and as someone who typically fucking hates Negronis, I remember it was one of the first cocktails I learned to make when I was a bartender, and I always just hated it. I am not a bitter person. I mean, I am, but my flavor profile doesn't like bitterness. Touche.
That's fair.
However, I really quite enjoy the Fifth State White Negroni. It's made with their original gin. They make their own White Amaro for this because they didn't want to use artificial colors or flavors like, you know, using Campari, which is traditional. And then aperitif wine as well. And I think the reason I like this one is it's not crazy bitter. It definitely has that tint to it, because obviously it is still a Negroni. But the way the distiller, the way that he does his white Amaro, it's super, super herbaceous. It's probably like a 7 out of 10 on the bitterness scale versus like a Campari, which would probably be like 10 out of 10. And it has a lot of fennel notes and anise notes, which I personally really enjoy. So I think that just softens out everything and makes me actually quite enjoy this particular version. Even though I've tried dozens. God, California, a couple years ago, we spent an entire day making all different styles of Negronis. And I tried every single one, and I pretty much hated every single one. So I have to say, this is quite amazing. Shout out to Fifth State, because this is banging. It's a Negroni for non-Negroni lovers.
Nice. And
what are you drinking?
Pray tell. Oh, you were going to just, we can go back to Sour's Your Mash.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I am also drinking a white Negroni, but I made, so I'm, it's not that I'm not a Negroni fan. It's that I don't typically make a lot of cocktails for three reasons. Number one, I just don't. Number two, I tend to just go into the booze room and typically am overwhelmed by my choices. So I literally close my eyes, grab a bottle, and pour it over ice. And then three, and that's if only I want ice. And then three, cocktails can be complex. I just got this new book on cocktail theory written by a doctor. I'm like, oh shit, this is intense. And I got a new book on Amaro. Maybe that's why Negronis were on my mind. And there's also something a week, I think, like a Negroni week, perhaps. That's may or may not be happening right now. So I'm making a.
We planned this in advance.
We did not, actually. This, I'll be honest, Ramblers, we did not. This was thrown together last minute. So, and I'm okay
it's
with
like it. All of our shows. It's only mine. This is our MO. Hmm. Oh my God. Is it actually that color, or is your computer making it look neon?
It's not quite this neon, but Sue's does have a neon-ish kind of quality, almost like a nuclear waste kind of look. I made a Negroni spritz. So I used a bunch of the ingredients that we had for the Bevluence Baltimore Bartender Lab. Say that three times fast, America.
No thanks.
And I used this beautiful Spanish gin from Raj over at Glass Rev, the Mahone gin. It's incredible. It's herbaceous, a little bit of citrus. Sue's, which is what most people use for a white Negroni. It's an herbal, a clear white tinged herbal liqueur. And then I use a little bit of yuzu lemon syrup from Amaretti. This is part of their beverage infusions line. And so it's super, super concentrated. So it requires only 1 to 2 pumps per 12 ounces.
Jesus.
So it's that concentrated. So I literally took like, I don't know, as few milliliters as I could out of the cap and tossed it in the shaker. Put it in my little shaker. And then I decided to make it into a spritz. So I added the Door County Dry Cider from Stillmank Brewing.
Ooh.
So it's a Negroni spritz. It's very fucking refreshing. I know it's not typically fall, but come on, people. It's still warm out here in California. So
now I'm really tempted to grab some cider and make mine a spritz. But
ooh, do it. That'd be good.
Hold on. Let's see what I get. Do I? Oh yeah. Okay, this is a non-alcoholic cider that we came across at the shop the other day, but it's banging fucking good. It is delicious. And it's made by, oh, come on. It's made by, oh yeah, Citizen Cider. So they do typically make alcoholic cider, but this just happens to be an NA version. I think they wanted to make it applicable for non-drinkers as well. It's on the sweet side. They don't add any sweeteners, but it is just like they use very sweet apples or didn't ferment out all the sugar or anything, but it is delicious. So let me have one more sip of my regular Negroni. It's tangy. It's a little bit bitter, very herbaceous. Let's see if this is, I don't know if these flavors are going to go together at all. We're going to fucking find out. That's why the hell not.
Try it.
Oh God, we're not chugging. Ooh, a little stir. Oh, now it has some color. Now it's,
look at her. She's
now I'm gonna pee funny colors.
Finger did so well.
Ew!
The
gross,
you know, the
stir
like you were stirring your drink with your finger. That's not dirty.
Why well, am I supposed dirty? To use my phone? That's even dirty. Ooh, oh,
nice, isn't it?
Oh, this is dangerously good. Okay, I thought the Negroni was pretty good before. Well, that was just excellent.
We have started a new trend. You're welcome to the cult of Negroni spritzes. Spritzai. We're gonna go with Spritzai.
Spritzai.
Yeah. So ooh. So let's start. What sour is your mash? What's on your let's hear it.
Sir, ma'am? That's her. Okay. No, she doesn't sour my mash. My babies are so sweet and delightful. So many things, but let's just go with exhaustion and anxiety and stress. I'm so sick of all that nonsense. So over it, and I am just constantly tired, and it's bullshit. Is this just what being in your 30s is? Is that's a raw fucking deal, man? And it's not good, not good.
That's right. Anyway. She's still in her 30s, guys. Yeah.
I'm a newlywed in my 30s, and I'm exhausted. Yeah. I am not exhausted because I'm married. Just being clear, because he is the best thing that has person that has ever happened to me. He's not a thing, he's a person. Yeah, he's magnificent and wonderful, and he makes life better. So why am I
and,
so
and I will say devilishly handsome.
He is.
Sandy is the man.
He's wildly attractive.
He is very, very attractive. Anyway, yeah, before it gets any weirder.
Yeah, thank you. What sours your mash?
What sours my mash? Wow, so many, many things. Yep. I can't really complain about traffic. I haven't been in traffic in a while. I took the ferry the other day.
Oh.
Really enjoyed that.
I'd be concerned if there was ferry traffic.
Yeah, very. It was awesome. I actually sat and I wrote. I had like a table and I could write and I could work. And I did that for the whole time. And then we arrived in San Francisco and I'm like, oh, shit, we're here. It was probably the least blood pressure my blood pressure has been in years.
What did I think about that?
Since we're doing Negronis, I do want to sour my mash a little bit on pretension. I came up in a very pretentious industry. The hospitality industry is known for being not just pretentious, but celebrating that. When I decided to stay in the beverage side versus go back to the food side, because I was a trained chef and I did a stage at a well-known restaurant in Chicago, and I was in charge for the evening that I was in the back of the house. I was in charge of various stations, but at one point I was in charge of foam, and I'm making foam, and I'm not a molecular gastronomist. I want to be clear on that. I was not trained that way. Molecular gastronomy was not in existence, at least in the United States, when I was coming to culinary school. I think it just may have started to get some inklings in Europe. But there was none of it in, we had roasted meats and butter and that was it. That was my culinary school. And in fact, I got into an argument once with my nutrition professor over, she wanted me to use some kind of olive oil or something. And I called her a fascist or something. And it was a whole thing. but true stories, by the way. And so anyway, so just that the pretension of sitting there making, it was like a banana foam for like an elk tenderloin or something. It was just the most ridiculous thing. And so I decided I was going to stick on the beverage side. And then I not discovered, because I knew the beverage side was just as pretentious and just as wonky and just as ridiculous with their words and their phrases, until someone recently captivated me with a great line and then a great seminar. A gentleman by the name of Eric. Your tasting notes are bullshit was the seminar that we listened to in Baltimore. And it was phenomenal.
It sounds refreshing.
It was refreshing. It was very high level. There were words I had to look up and I'm like, all right, cool. But in a way that really kind of helped people to understand, would help people to understand. And by the way, you should check this out. The Modern Bar Cart podcast. Yes, we're promoting another podcast on our podcast.
Yay, because we're that cool.
We are. We're that cool. But check it out. It's a way to unpretentiousness. That's a word now. The beverage industry. Because we do tend to get very verbose. We do tend to get quixotic.
Oh, do you mean, you know, harken back to a little frankincense and myrrh action? Sorry, that's still a sore spot.
Ruined. Yeah, I'm sorry, but just say incense, motherfucker. Just say incense. That's all you had to say. Notes of incense. And I would have, you would not have been on my shit list, but you've been on my shit list now for what, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, however long it's been.
I think that was the first season, so yeah.
Legit. I can't even with these people. Yeah, and I do that sometimes too, which is why I think the Negroni is a great example of something that doesn't need to be pretentious. It can be fun. So we've chosen very last minute this evening, Negroni Nights, the bitter, the bold, and the beautiful.
Oh, look at that alliteration and the fun. Hey, just
that was set. Awesome. Thank you very much, artificial intelligence.
Hey, that's, you know, sometimes we do what we gotta do.
Yeah. So this episode celebrates the history a little bit, cultural impact, tiny bit. The allure of the iconic Negroni cocktail. We'll explore its Italian origins, potentially. This classic recipe, variations that have become popular over the years, and feature zero interviews with zero bartenders and enthusiasts because we literally came up with this moments before we decided to record.
Yep.
And thus, can you believe nobody was available? Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, how, fucking crazy.
How is this industry not made itself available to us at all times?
Yeah, especially such a niche market as Negroni enthusiasts. They should... And, oh, God, I wish I could recall who it is. I know someone in my network is a Negroni fiend. I'm like, who the fuck is it? So if you're that person, sorry I have forgotten. But also, you should reach out and, like, chime in the comments or, you know, on social media or something, because that's great.
Yes.
Also, I feel like a lot of this episode is Justin going to be trying to convince me that Negronis are great.
Oh, well. So, reason number one, why Negronis are great. So I will be honest. I don't know that I've ever actually ordered a Negroni as a cocktail in my life at any restaurant, cruise ship, bar, nightclub, gentleman's establishment, cigar bar, any other type of establishment you can think of. I don't think I've ever actually ordered a Negroni. I was first introduced to, because I was a whiskey guy. For the longest time. And I met some people who weren't whiskey people. And I know it's crazy that these people exist. And they opened my eyes to gin as a concept and as a beverage. And gin cocktails, like, you know, the Negroni.
Ugh.
Yeah, so...
You would think I would love it, because I fucking love gin. I love gin well before I ever liked whiskey. And it's equal parts... gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. Like, I should like it. It is a gin drink. But I fucking hate vermouth, and I fucking hate Campari. So, unfortunately, I would just ask for a Negroni and hold the vermouth and Campari. Oh, Justin's about to school me. He's got a book out.
I'm reading from the Negroni Bible. Introduction. When it comes to cocktails, there can be beauty in a simple recipe. But that is also where controversy lies. There is a wide array of arguments over the correct ratios to use and how to garnish a martini or a gin and tonic. Another such cocktail is the Negroni.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2, verse 1 and 3. that was the introduction to the Negroni book by David Smith and Kelly Rivers, two of the best gin influencers, gin queens, gin yeses.
We love you both.
We do. We love you both. I think I just invented a new word there. Gin yeses, going with it. In
Please
the
do.
World,
it was great.
They are definitely two of the best gin experts out there. And so they wrote this book some years back, and it still holds. Obviously, it still holds up because it is kind of our Negroni Bible. It's fantastic, and this is where I got the idea. For the white Negroni, it's super simple. I didn't use the lay this time, but I used Sue's instead. But yeah, it's fantastic. And there, it's funny because there is still controversy, as there always will be, over everything on this planet, especially ephemeral things like cocktails.
Yeah, like personal taste preferences.
Well, that too.
I am sure there are plenty of people out there who would beat me for saying I don't like Negronis. They'd be like, it is the best fucking cocktail out there. And they would fight me over it. And I would let them. Because you know what? You're allowed your opinions. I'm allowed mine. But yeah, personal preferences and tastes are very ephemeral.
They absolutely are. And I don't know that I ever used to get offended by people and their personal taste preferences. But now I don't think I could care less. About if you want to drink it, drink it. I don't care if you're drinking Malort. Do your thing, man or woman or whoever, whatever you are. I don't care. So apparently Orson Welles had a very famous quote: "The bitters are excellent for your liver. The gin is bad for you. They balance each other." Something about the Negroni in 1947. So it's been around for a long time. And Julia is going to give us some fancy history.
Oh yeah.
Stay tuned for the next 45 minutes.
Buckle up, buttercups. So apparently, the story of the Negroni begins at the Cafe Cassoni in Florence in about 1919. However, there is no actual documented historical account of the exact beginnings. But it is believed by, I can't get over this word, Coctalians, really? Get over yourself, whoever wrote this. That Count Camillo Negroni invented the drink when he ordered an Americano made with gin in place of the usual soda water. It was a success, and not long after, the Negroni family founded the Negroni Distillery, which produced a ready-to-drink version of the cocktail that they called Antico Negroni 1919. Because 1919 was the year. But Justin, you were saying it might go back further than that, yeah?
I've heard discussions, I've listened to people on the interwebs, I've seen Facebook posts in the past where even the Italian story itself is being called into question. Some people saying Morocco, some people saying other parts of the Middle East, some people saying even before 1919 or around that same time. End of the war, suddenly there's an influx of gin from the Netherlands, there's an influx of gin or botanical spirit from other places. And so, even the history of the Negroni itself is being called into question. And that's honestly a good thing, because we should question histories that are just passed down from story to generation to generation for accuracy. So it says here in our outline that we should interview an Italian bartender. Instead of being super racist, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pretend to be.
I can talk about the first variation that Please. Happened because of an Italian bartender.
Let's do that.
In 1967 at Bar Basso in Milan, that is when it was credited as the first variation, the Negroni Spagliato, aka the mistaken Negroni, which was made with Prosecco instead of gin. And it is believed that a way too busy bartender grabbed a bottle of Prosecco thinking it was gin, but the customer was happy and really loved it. So, hey, there you go. And apparently, as we are both drinking white Negronis, I'm kind of surprised that this wasn't created until about 2000, like shortly after the year 2000. So not that long ago, folks, we got the first white Negroni. By British cocktail expert Wayne Collins, who is credited as the creator of this variation by swapping in Lillet Blanc and Suze for the sweet vermouth and Campari. So you know what? Finger snaps for Wayne Collins.
Wayne Collins, if that story is true.
Yeah, who knows? We don't. I'm just basing this off foodandwine.com.
There you go, yeah. voiceover. While the classic Negroni remains a staple, bartenders worldwide have put their own spin on this bittersweet cocktail. But no matter the variation, it remains unmistakably a Negroni. I don't know about that, actually. In the book, The Negroni, by David Smith and Kelly Rivers, there is a mezcal version that I absolutely fell in love with.
Oh, God. Pork.
I believe it's the Oaxacan.
Oh, my. I mean, it sounds cool.
Mezcal, red vermouth, and Campari. And there's a couple of other options where you have that kind of very exceptional smoky characteristics coming out of the Negroni. And I know you.
I would try like a barrel aged Negroni with something like. You know, the Bar Hill Barrel Age Gin, that might be good. Oh, or the Highclere's King
yes.
Tut Age Gin. Fuck off, that is brilliant. However, I don't think I'd want to adulterate that with other ingredients I don't like. But I didn't need that knee with your claw marks. Where's it going with this? Yeah, I would try a Barrel Age Negroni, but I don't understand how it is a top 10 cocktail in the world. I guess a lot of Europeans, they like bitter shit, don't they? Especially Eastern Europeans. Maybe I'm completely racistly generalizing, but maybe they're the ones making up, because I have never and will never order a Negroni out. I have never had anyone order a Negroni from me. I've never heard someone order a Negroni in any bar I was ever in. So I'm not sure the hype is really there. But apparently it is a top 10 world cocktail. So what fucking country or what tiny ass podunk town is putting Negronis on the map?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, it is.
From my understanding, Duluth, Minnesota is the Negroni capital of Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah,
So
fuck Duluth and fuck Minnesota.
I have no idea. You simmer down, Duluth. I'm just teasing you with
Right. Go
the
Packers,
first
fuck the
random
Bears.
town that I could think of. Simmer down. So there's also things like the Boulevardier, which it's funny because I didn't even think that it was a apparently it's a Negroni variation. I was like, what do you mean? It's a bourbon cocktail. But then you realize most cocktails are just variations of other cocktails
Oh, a billion
with a
percent.
different base spirit. And you're like, oh, cool. It kind of kills some of the magic, but at the same time, it doesn't.
I think it kills the magic at first until you actually start to realize the crossovers and like, okay, swapping out this makes it this. What? I think that's fascinating.
It is, and there's a fun. There's more math and more science in these types of things than you realize. It doesn't have to be hyper specific with charts and graphs and very, tight numbers, but it can be. So there is, like I said, I just got this new book, The Cocktail Theory, and I also got a book on Amaro. That I wanted to read up on for some cocktail creations because we are doing a lot more cider cocktails and various cocktails for the company and it's a lot of fun. I did actually take a bartending school. I got my certificate once just to kind of understand better the back bar, just understand better the actual bartending realm. So it was interesting. But you're right. I think we only made one or two variations on a Negroni in that class. And again, when I say variations, colored water was used for everything.
Yeah, well,
Literally,
there you go.
various colored waters. But you get the sense. You know, when you're making Garrocane or you're making some of these other things, you get an adios motherfucker or a zombie or whatever. But yeah, it is interesting. How let's talk about the top 10 cocktails. What are the other 10 cocktails?
Oh, I have no idea. I would assume something like all the classic ones you think of that have been around for seemingly forever that are easy, simple, see at bars all the time, like a gin ton, an old fashioned, a Manhattan. I also hate Manhattan because I hate vermouth.
Wow. Hate vermouth. Okay. Now okay. It's one thing to hate Campari or that kind of bitter agent of Sue's or some of the other specific Amaros. How the fuck does one hate vermouth?
I don't know. The only vermouth I ever liked was sadly from a distillery that has since closed down. It was Green Hat Distillery in DC or outside of DC. They did the best fucking Navy Strength gin. I love their gins, but they also did vermouths, a white and a red, and it was revolutionary. I don't know what it was about those. And unfortunately, like I didn't ever buy bottles, I just tasted it at the distillery. But I still remember exactly where he was and the person and the whole fucking setup. I don't know what it was, but I only like those. I have tried many, many different vermouths, both sweet and dry, and not for me, and I don't know what's wrong.
Understood. And I do love a good vermouth. And in fact, I visited a beautiful vermouth winery in Baltimore. And they make three vermouths. They make a rosé, a white, and a sweet, red. And they have the most incredible vermouths. They're beautifully put together. I did some reviews, and several other people on our team did reviews. And vermouth is one of those things you can have on its own. It can be a digestif. It can be an aperitif if you so choose. But I have no understanding of you hating on vermouth. But this is
I'm a
from
hater, what can I say?
you are a hater, liquor.com, updated on 3/16/2023. So about a little over a year old at this point. This is the top 10 most popular cocktails right now.
Oh, let's
Look
see if
what it
this
says.
matches
It's what
the
it
place
says.
I'm on.
So here we go. The bourbon old fashioned. Number two, The espresso martini.
Well, that has definitely gained in popularity, and it is still going strong.
The Manhattan.
Yep.
The White Russian.
Interesting. I wouldn't have thought that would be a top 10.
Dirty Martini. Porn Star Martini.
A lot of people don't know about that. I am skeptical of that one.
Margarita. Number 8. Negroni.
I think Negroni was number 8 on the list I'm looking at, too.
Number 9, Mai Tai, my mother-in-law's favorite. And number 10, the Whiskey Sour. This is an interesting list. Again, it's about a year old. I don't know that I agree with any of those choices.
Yeah, this list is even more your staple basics with a martini, a mojito, margarita, old fashioned, Manhattan, Negroni, Cosmo, daiquiri, and pina colada. Those are all like, oh, and a Bloody Mary. Yep, that's. It's all the most basic of cocktails, but I guess to be famous, you should be basic and well-known.
Yep, so let's look at Forbes.
I'm surprised gin tons do not make either of those lists.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why are you hating on gin and tonics?
Well, let's see what happens with the Forbes list. This was 2024, back in April. So the margarita is number 1. Martini is number 2. Moscow Mule makes an appearance at number 3. Espresso Martini, number 4. Again, that is one I've never ordered, thought about ordering, considered ordering, dreamt about ordering.
I hate coffee and espresso, so I would never get it. Plus, it's always chock-a-block full of dairy, but holy shit, does it sell.
Yeah.
It is so big in Connecticut. Like, everyone is ordering it all the time. They have their very specific bars. They're like, no, this one place makes the best espresso martinis. They are adamant. Espresso martini lovers are vicious. Sorry, continue your list.
Coming in on the number 5 of Forbes is Old Fashioned. The Mojito, number 6. Interesting.
I don't like mojitos.
Long Island Iced Tea.
Ooh, nice.
Haven't seen that on a list yet. Spritz. I'm assuming this is like a Campari or Aperol Spritz. Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
Hate Aperol. So gross.
Yeah, because it's bitter, yeah. Mimosa. It's not really mimosa. A cocktail. It's, come on. Mimosa's not a cocktail. And a Bellini. All right. Well, this is interesting. This is brunch. Like, this list is just brunch things.
Brunch cocktails.
Brunch. Like, that's not. Difford's Guide. 7 greatest cocktails of all time. Let's do this and then let's wrap this shit up, because at this point, we have gone way off the rambling rails. Never mind. This is a forum. That's not going to help. Neo cocktails. It's funny. Nobody has.
I'm trying to look up. Oh, fuck off. Eastern European favorite cocktails. So the closest I found was the top 10 summer cocktails that Europe's locals are drinking right now. This is from Trafalgar.com, Europe and Britain. So, yeah. The second one on it. The first one is a limoncello spritz. Not surprised. Sure. Second one is that Negroni Spagliato. Go fucking figure.
Okay.
A rosé à la piscine? I have no idea. I've never heard of that one. A caipirinha? Yum. Kir Royal? Not surprised. Pim's Cup? Also not surprised. Hugo? Prosecco Passion, Prosecco Elderflower and Mint. That sounds good. Sue's Porto Tonico. Why would you? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this is the close to a gin and tonic that I've come across. If you're a fan of the G&T, you have to try Portugal's twist on the classic drink. A refreshing and light Porto Tonico swaps the gin for the rich, complex flavors of fortified port wine. Typically made using a bright white port or rosé, resulting in a less alcoholic drink that's perfect when you need to stay hydrated, but also want to kick back and embrace the holiday life. Yes, I fucking do. Expect a fusion of fruity and floral notes from the port wine, balanced by the effervescence and bitterness of the tonic water. Shut up! I would never have thought about doing that, but if we end up holidaying in Portugal, fuck yeah, I would try that. Also, wait. I'm gonna show myself. they make rosé port?
Yes.
Holy shit, how have I never tried this? How have I never heard of this?
It is not typical. But actually, my wife doesn't drink very much. So when we find something, we buy it. And we found this great nutty liqueur that they use for this welcome cocktail in Lisbon, speaking of Portugal. And so we bought some and brought it back. But Lisbon has an amazing cocktail culture.
Whoa.
And they do things like rosé ports and white ports, and they do it very hardcore. It's awesome. So like, yeah, I highly recommend
white ports and, you know, tawnies and the rubies and late bottle vintage, all that. I've never heard of a rosé port, and now bye, Justin. I need to like go over to Portugal right now to try it.
I got a new phone a while back, and I was just re-uploading some old pictures so that I could edit them, and I know this is Spain, but all the Canary Islands on there. Great cocktail culture. 2 days in Madeira. Amazing. Most people assume all Madeira is going to be sweet, but they make plenty of dry Madeira. That's meant to be consumed, you know, young and in a cocktail or in a spritz or in something to cool you down. Most people think, oh, you have to have this 1961 port sitting drinking a cigar in this dark leather room. No, you're drinking while you're outside playing in the damn Madeira sun, staring at Ronaldo's fucking statue. Weirdly sexual. Mark would appreciate this. The brass statue that's there is rubbed raw in a very specific place.
Oh gee, I wonder which place.
Not gonna tell you, audience. You're gonna have to go there and nut up. So yeah, anyway,
it's like the famous Irish lady in all the songs, but she has her statue in Dublin, and you want to know what section of her statue is rubbed bronzy? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Her hair? I don't know.
No. Justin!
That's because people are perverted, and I'm not. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, right. Everyone's perverted except you.
I love this picture of a dark and stormy that is neither dark nor stormy.
Man, I haven't had a dark and stormy in forever.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know what's funny? It's not many of these are rum cocktails. Very few are whiskey cocktails. Blueberry margarita made it on some list. We have to stop.
Someone was just pushing blueberry something or other.
Yeah, I gotta stop. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to our Negroni episode, if you can call it that.
I think you can tell it's a polarizing subject.
Yes, it is. If you don't like Negronis, that's okay, because Negroni week ends in a couple of days anyway. So join us next time when we talk to those people who only drink espresso martinis.
Oh, gross.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Download almost anywhere. Join our Facebook group and follow us at Swig and Ramble on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter for more fermented fuckery. Cheers.